I entitled my message this week, Living Bread. Now, before I get started, I am not a doctor. I am not a nutritionist. I am not understanding everything about everything that I do. But some of the things I've come to understand and I come to wonder about. And with that said, the advances of medicine and proactive health today's world, they're just astounding. And one of the major shifts in our understanding of disease and prevention has come with a new conception of the rule of the gut. Now, it turns out our gut health determines just about everything about our overall health and affects whether or not we may be susceptible to certain diseases, especially those caused by an autoimmune system. Well, anyhow, because of this knowledge, not only functional medicine but conventional medicine has gotten on board with ways to improve health through changes in diets, avoiding certain inflammatory foods, cutting out allergens, eliminating gluten, and making sure we feed our gut with what it needs to manufacture healthy bacteria. Now, there is good bacteria and bad bacteria. I found that out. Instead of all of that bad bacteria. Well, we knew that eating the right foods could be very influential to a culture hooked for years on fast food, sugar, and carbs. I think one of the key troublemakers in our gut is yeast. Huh, yeast? Yeah, that busy little microbe that makes bread, donuts, pretzels taste so good. Not to mention a little bit of wine, a little bit of beer. Well, I don't do the beer thing anymore, but I do like a glass of wine once in a while. But yeast is often called a lot of things, but member of the fungus family. Now, some of the big fancy names I can't pronounce, so I won't bore you with my own pronunciation. But yeast is actually a member of the fungus family. And what makes you lose your appetite when you think of it that way? It does, really. Fungus? Ugh. Now, they're right up there with molds and mushrooms. Hardly these little critters, and they're prolific, too, as most mold is. Well, with over 1,500 species of yeast, it has existed for hundreds of million years, long before we did. And you think, well, how old's the Earth? I don't know. But people in the know say we're 100 million years or more, but we have recorded history of 6,000 years. But I digress. Yeast can be symbolic, but they also can be a parasitic. And some yeast, like probiotics, can help line the gut with healthy microbes. Others, such as the candida, can wreak havoc on the human body. Way back when, in the early 1300 to 1500 BCE, that stands before Common Era, ancient Egyptians started inserting yeast in the bread in order to make it rise. This discovery would carry on through our current time. But it wasn't until the 1600s that we understood what yeast really was. And today, we still don't entirely understand the full impact of yeast on our health. But we're starting to realize that it makes a huge difference for our second brain. We got a second brain. Yeah, it's called the gut. And the scriptures use yeast as a common metaphor. Now, many times in the Hebrew scriptures, yeast pops up as something to keep out of the bread, used for serious Jewish holidays and sacrifices. Now, one would insert yeast into bread for the purpose of daily feasting and drinking, but to observe times of difficulty and sadness or affliction, the remembrance of the Israelites delivered from Egypt, they use matzah, which is unleavened bread, which is bread made without yeast. And it was a mandated choice that they were to do that sacrificially and celebrate by unleavened bread. While everyday meals enjoy the abundance and tasty of filling benefits of leaven or yeast, filled breads with wine and different things, only in the Hebrew scriptures, leaven or yeast, due to the mandate for the removal of all that from the temple for sacrificial purposes, would be metamoralized as evil influence. Now, that could change the nature of one's sacrificial nature, that's for sure. Although, they didn't understand how it worked or even why it worked, but the ancient people understood the prolific nature of inserting or invading this thing called yeast into our food. And once it gets into your food, it's hard to get out. Now, Jesus, interestingly, used the metaphor of yeast in both a negative and a positive way. He warned against emulating or reproducing yeast of the Pharisees, the prolific negative internal character that they represented with their exclusive and hypocritical tendencies. But then on the other hand, he advocated for internalizing and reproducing the yeast of the kingdom. Now, both can multiply prolifically, whether one chooses to reproduce negative or positive characteristics or even spirits in one life. Lineage or heritage became utmost importance. It wasn't the yeast itself that was the issue. It was the kind of yeast that you inserted into your life, into your heart, into your soul that made the difference. So as with today, yeast can be bad or good, depending on the kind that you harbor in your gut, or in this case, your mind or your heart. Now, would you propagate the kingdom, the Spirit of Christ, and Jesus' life-saving messages, his gospel of hope? Or would you propagate the legalistic, harsh coldness of the Pharisees of Jesus' day? So the question is this, what yeast would you choose? Well, when Jesus tells us in Scripture for today, in fact, our Scriptures this month, according to the lectionary, it's been for the whole month that we're talking about this, Jesus said that he is the living bread. He's talking about bread filled with yeast, good yeast, kingdom yeast, the kind that you want to emulate and propagate, yeast that will live forever if passed on from person to person, and community to community, life-giving, health-giving, kingdom-building, spiritual muscle bread, Jesus bread, if you would, for he is the primary and eternal source. Now, I think all of us at one time or another had an experience of making and watching people do sourdough bread. I remember in the church that I grew up in, they used to do this stuff, and they made some kind of bread, and they would pass it around to everybody, and it would be to get somebody a starter thing and all that. And the sourdough starter contained enzymes, which then was passed on, continued to create the same bread on and on and on for as long as it was passed on. So think about it. That's the way it is with the kingdom of heaven. The scripture today, Jesus tells us that he will give his own flesh in sacrifice for us. And because of this, we do not mourn, but celebrate with the living bread of his eternal promise. There is no mere flat cracker-like bits of manna. No, this is real bread, living bread, alive and teeming with life. Eternal life for all of us, and all we need to do is abide in him and he in us. We just need to abide together. I like that word, abide. It's an interesting word. In the Hebrew, the word is yashaf, and I can't pronounce it properly. In the Greek, it's mimi. In the Hebrew scriptures, the word, in addition to meaning to dwell or remain or endure, means especially to inhibit. When we abide with God and God with us, we allow God's Holy Spirit to inhabit our hearts and our souls. We make God our home, and we cohabitate with God. Isn't that wonderful? It is so cool to cohabitate with God. He loves us that much. He wants us to be a part of him, and he be a part of us. It's wonderful. It's an interesting and beautiful thing to think about. And for the many Greeks in Jesus' time, it was really a slightly disturbing image. Or if you think of it this way, when we abide with Jesus and he with us in an eternal covenant together, we allow the yeast of Jesus, his prolific and powerful life-giving presence, to inhabit our hearts and our lives from the inside out. In doing so, we become filled with the teeming, eternal, life-giving energy that Jesus has to offer us. Wow. And we feel energized. We feel positive about the future. We are joyful in our life and hopeful in all the ventures that we do. And we feel loving and compassionate to our neighbors, excited to share the gospel, and compelled to worship and praise. And when we fill ourselves with life-giving bread of Jesus, we exude his presence and for all who encounter us. And we pass on the secret, the gift of eternal life, to all that we can, through generation to generation. And in doing so, we perpetrate the kingdom that Jesus intended. Now, I think the best sign that a church is filled with life. Certainly, Bethel's small, and we don't have a lot of people, but we are filled with life, and we have the ability to reproduce. And everything that is alive will stay alive, and it must continue to reproduce. And without the ability to reproduce, the living being will wither away. Abiding with Jesus ensures a church's reproductive power. Imagine a community teeming with life-giving spiritual followers of Christ, sharing in the covenant, the compassion and love, perpetrating the love and energy from generation to generation. Think about that love that's been going on in this little church since 1834. Now, we never knew some of the people from beyond those years and different things, but the Spirit is alive in this little church, and it's the kind of yeast that Jesus can provide. This is the kind of church body that Jesus' life-giving Spirit wants us to fill. Abide with him. Allow his life-giving Holy Spirit to inhabit our bodies, releasing their prolific, multiplying energy within us and within Christ's body, the church. I like that one little commercial. Yes, please. That's pretty neat. Pass the bread, please. So today, I want to invite you to turn to your neighbor. You know, we don't do this very often. We call it passing of the peace. You know, how are you today? And yada, yada, yada. But instead, turn to your neighbor or to your friend or to your partner. Instead of just passing the peace, ask the person beside you to pass the living bread of Jesus. And may his life-giving force abide among you and with you and within you now and forevermore. Amen. Well, thank you for tuning in. I hope and pray that you are encouraged. You know, we have a biblical mandate to encourage one another, and I just love sharing the gift of joy that God has given to me, and I love to pass it on. And only, I like that old campfire song. It only takes a spark to get a fire a-glowing. That's how it is with God's love. Hallelujah. Have a wonderful day.